Kyla,
Casey,
and Carol.
Welcome back to the 101 podcast, and it's all of us right now.
Hello.
Shocker.
Yep. Honestly, this almost didn't happen due to weather and
schedules and
we're having a hard time right now. That's basically all that I'll say about
snow.
Snow.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I'll say about snow.
The Northeast really took a hit, and I was back in Florida, as were both of these two lovely ladies, but they left before I did, and I got trapped for a whole 24 hours.
I was also trapped for a whole 24 hours.
Yours was, like, pre-snowstorm, though.
Mine was, I tried to get out for the snowstorm, a freak accident happened, and the plane that was supposed to be coming, like, that we were supposed to be using to fly back up, ended up having a medical emergency in the middle of the flight down to me, so they had to divert it to, like, another airport, and then replace the oxygen masks, because apparently they came down. I don't know why.
Bruh.
And
wait, I didn't know that.
Wait, we should Google that. That's definitely a headline.
And like
that's a headline.
Or that's at least what the gate attendant told us. And then
they were just making stuff.
They were like, oh, they'll be out in like an hour. They'll just like replace the things and then fly back down and it'll be fine. So we're like, oh, okay. Like an hour delay is not bad. No. And then it was 2 hours. And then it was 4 hours. And then it was, we don't know if or when the plane is going to get here tonight. Yep. And then an hour later, they were like, yeah, the flight's canceled. You're going out at 1:30 tomorrow. I'm like, well, great. Because at 1:30 tomorrow, it's supposed to be really, really snowing.
Yeah.
And it was.
All I'm imagining is that the gate agent, like, it wasn't, hopefully it wasn't as serious. But, like, she was told something that the flight would be canceled, and she was like, I need to come up with something that's, like, gonna make it
She got
okay
in big brain mode.
She was like, all right. There's a medical emergency on the plane. And someone's like, all right, but the plane's out here, right? And she's like, oh, no, it's not. Oh, my God. No, it was diverted. You're like, it's not here. And they're like, okay. She's like, the oxygen mask came down. They're like, I don't understand why they would come down to her. What exactly happened? She's like, the plane was doing loop-de-loops in the sky. It was doing loop-de-loops around, and then it just diverted into a different airport because it couldn't stop doing loop-de-loops.
The medical emergency was that someone tripped, fell into the door, and it cracked, and it ruined the presser seal, so everyone had to get the air mask
That's
on.
The only thing I can think of that would do that.
Imagine someone tripping and opening the door to an airplane. That's iconic.
Is that even possible?
No.
Definitely not. But on a faulty airplane.
They have to, like...
No, it's a multi-step process. I actually think it takes two people.
Do the hokey pokey.
It honestly might.
I think after, like, they had issues with that, they, like, made it so two flight attendants have to open it, so, like, not one
mentally unstable person can do it. One flight attendant, so...
What?
What?
It was flying on, like, a pack of gum over here or something?
Like, genuinely.
No, it was one of those, like, really tiny planes where it's like two seats on one side and one seat on the other, and there's only like 20 rows.
Wait,
what kind of
other
flight?
I've flown on them like several times.
The only time that like I've flown on a plane nearly that small, it's been like two seats on each side. I've never flown on one with one seat on
no,
the side.
When I was flying out of here, they put us on a like the gate that we were at, we had to take a bus to it, and then they put us on one of those like outside, it wasn't like one of the jetways that like comes out and connects to the plane. We, like, climbed up some stairs to get onto the plane. Like, you would if you're getting on, like,
only,
a private jet.
I've only done that in Latin American countries.
Well, I've done it twice out of our lovely airport.
Because they don't have the infrastructure at a lot of the airports. The smallest plane I've ever done was when I flew from England to Scotland, and it was one person on these. No, that's not true. I flew the Nazca Lines, and that was a little tiny, like Cessna, and it was awful. I got
that
so airsick.
Terrifying.
Literally everyone was vomiting because like they're like the lines are clearly on the ground.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, because there's one person at each window, so then they'll loop around it one way and then they'll flip it and go around the other way. So it's literally just like one way and then back the other way over and over and over again.
No.
And all of these. There was this large group of Chinese tourists in the back, and they were all very old, and they couldn't communicate with the crew, and they just all threw up. They were, like, all in airbags, like, just puking the whole time.
It sounds like everybody on that plane was in...
Oh, I didn't throw up. I just turned, like, the AC thing on really high and just, like, sat there with my eyes closed and was like, it's not worth it. Like, it's not worth looking at. It's totally fine.
This episode just becomes us telling our airplane horror stories. We all have plenty of them.
How many people
have
stopped
listening?
If you've
gone to the airport you have an airplane. That's yeah, airport true. Horror story.
Airports are horrors.
Yeah, the real horror, though, was mm-hmm. the fact that I went to go get my $9 trail mix mm-hmm. that's Banana Foster's flavored, mm-hmm. and they have every flavor but that flavor. Mm.
It's tragedy.
It's sad.
That is a real tragedy.
That's true. Well, speaking of tragedies, today we're going to talk about... This podcast. Well, let's get back to the podcast. I mean, honestly. Tragedy is that we haven't reached 2,000 followers yet. I thought that we told you guys that we wanted to do that. So I don't know what your issue is and that you're not recruiting actively for us. It's Giving Tuesday.
Fun fact, listen to us followers. Listen to this podcast and be cyberbullied.
Someone has to discipline them.
We didn't open debate yet.
Oh.
Okay. Chair's discretion, debate's open.
Okay.
Fair cool. enough.
We're one of those conferences where you motion open debate and they're like, you don't have to motion open debate. And you're like, but what?
But yeah. legally, pretty sure I have to. The chair's just like,
I'm sitting here, so we're going to get
started. I'm a cool chair. I don't follow Parley Pro.
It's fine. We don't need rules. Which I think
makes it more fun, but it actually makes it worse, because you don't even understand what we're doing anymore.
I'm going to stress out the type A delegate, and that's definitely Casey.
That's definitely everyone here.
And the delegate whose first conference it is like in the back, like, this is so cool. He's so cool. She's so cool. This is She's gender so neutral. Cool. I've had alters.
They're so cool. Oh, goodness. Okay, well, now the debate's open. I guess we can talk. We're going to talk about what it's like when you have someone from your own team in your room. So when you are directly competing against your teammate, which is awkward sometimes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be. But in all of my cases, it's been weird. So
I need to sit over here and count, but I think I've been on at least maybe 4 committees plus.
I've done it 3 times.
Someone in my room.
I've only done it once.
So.
Yeah, I've done it 3 times.
And I am someone who's very passionate about people not being terrible to each other when they're
yeah.
in oh, committee room. If you don't agree with that, stop listening to the podcast right now. And I will know how many of you stop listening because we get the analytics on that. Stop listening. Because if you are the kind of person that actively tries to kill the person from your team and your committee...
Why?
You're a bad person.
What's the point?
You're literally working against the whole fact that you're a team.
Yeah.
Like, you're... There's minimum 3 awards per committee. You could
two of them.
You could both get them.
I remember when I was a sophomore at my second conference... I honestly think this goes for JCCs too, and I'll have my own little tip about JCCs and, like, being on the other side of someone yeah. you're on a team with, because, let me tell you, you need to work that to your advantage. But, we'll get into that a little bit later. But I remember there was someone from my team on the other side of the JCC, and I was a meager little sophomore at my second conference, mm-hmm. and this was a very, you know, experienced, very good delegate on the other side, and I was terrified the whole time that they were gonna kill me. And people had been told, like, watch out, it might happen. But, like, it's so much better if you just...
Don't.
Like, I don't know. My thing is, at the worst, be neutral. Mm. At the best, be working together.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, maybe you guys can talk a little bit about if, like, any of your experiences, slash maybe we can go into, like, if you've had a bad experience. Because I wouldn't call mine a bad one, because... Mm-hmm. The delegate from our team on the other side didn't end up, like, coming after me at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fine. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, I think it's always better to, like, have that chat beforehand, especially, like, in room Absolutely. And a JCC. Mm-hmm. But, like, hey, we're in the same room. Like, want to prep together. The last JCC I was in had, you know, I was on one side and 2 people from my team were on the other. And we all watched a movie about the topic beforehand just to get hyped for it. So, like...
Yeah. I don't know. I've had it 3 times, as far as I can recall. It might have been more than that, but I can't... Those are the only thing that I can remember mm-hmm. right now. The first one was my first conference ever. It was a TCC, and I had someone in the room with me, and then someone in a different room. That was a negative experience. The person that was in the other room, like, didn't really mess with us. Like, I never really, like, interacted with her in, like, any specific way. But the guy in my room, surprise, tried to kill me several times, and it, like, became, like, a whole thing. That one we played as if we didn't know each other. Because it was at a conference where that was, like, kind of... that was able to happen. At some conferences, you're not able to really...
What team are you on?
Yeah.
What team are you on?
Like, we just kind of were like, oh, we're from Jersey. Like, haha. I don't know. And, yeah, we were just kind of like, oh, it's whatever. I don't know. And...
Undercover agent.
The next one was a committee I've talked about. It was my punk committee. And I had another delegate from our team in there. And that one was one where it was just kind of neutral. Like, we weren't unfriendly, but we weren't friendly. We were just kind of like, whatever. Like, we're just kind of cooling. I think people knew that we were from the same school, but it was because there were only, like, at the maximum, there were 10 people there, I'm pretty sure. Maybe 12. It was a really, really tiny committee. When we showed up, there were only 5 people. And then it grew from there, but still. So, whatever. And then my last one was with Efrain. We've talked about Efrain several times. We were in the Jurassic World Committee at Kayak. And we were in it together. And we worked together a little bit just to, like, because we both had very different positions. So it was like, hey, could you, like, help me get these resources? And they'd be like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But our plans didn't really converge together. Like, we had different blocks. And I think that was my favorite. Because it was like, you use each other as a tool, but you have very separate things, which I think allows you to succeed in a way that, like, I don't know, is kind of nice.
Okay, so the only time I've been in committee with someone from my team was Punk last year. So 2019, right? Yeah. Not that it matters. But it was in the Saving Egypt committee, which was a very cool committee. But she had a slightly different position than I had. I was one of the high priests. And I honestly forgot what her position was. But it was something like mystic. It wasn't like a military person or like a political person or whatever. It was something different than me. And she had specific control of one city.
Yeah, I think she was like a high priestess of a city or something like that.
I can't remember, honestly.
Yeah.
But it was actually really good. Because she was a newer delegate, so it was a lot of, like, collaboration, and her plans were really, really cool, and, like, to be honest, she tried some sus stuff and probably, like, tried to get me in on some plans, and I was like, no.
Honestly, she's a pretty sneaky one. I will say that.
And she could have been less conspicuous about it, but it was fine. I appreciated the moxie. But it was a technology conference, so she would message me on Slack and just DM me and be like, hey, you know, is there anything I could be doing better with, like, speaking or, like, proposing motions or, like, passing directives or stuff like that? And I'd send her back, like, a few little things that I noticed that she either did or didn't do and whatever. And she would actually, like, start doing those things or not doing those things. So it was really collaborative. It was good. And we talked about a bunch of directives together because we were both kind of in the same camp. So it was overall, I'd say, a really positive experience. If not for the part where she probably tried to rope me into some plans, but
that's fine, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
I've been sitting here like counting how many times I've either, because there's been a few conferences that I have not been in the same room, but they've been on the other side of the JCC, and then we've still worked together in that way. But I counted up, and if you include like someone on the other side of JCC from my school, I've been in committee with someone 7 times.
Oh my god. Because
some of those overlap with like 3 people in like one committee, right?
Yeah, so like the last JCC I was in, I was alone, but 2 people from my school were in the other side of the JCC.
And that one, the IRA one, didn't you have 2 people?
In the IRA, there were 2 other people from my school in that one.
And that was a single room.
Yeah. I think all my experiences have been either neutral or positive. I don't really think it's ever a drawback to have someone in your room. Mm-hmm. I think the only time is if you get too much in your head and you're like, well, you know, either I'm older so I should be awarding higher, or like, I need to prove myself, or you make it way too hyper-competitive instead of like, hey, let's try to get as many people from our team onto the like scoreboard.
Yeah.
You're just like only measuring yourself against the other person, which isn't great. But I think if you go into it with a very strategic mentality, it's very helpful. Because I have had the ones where we've just kind of done our own thing. And then I mentioned when Adam was on the podcast that we had actually been in, you know, quite a few committees together. At this point, we've now been in 3 committees, either in the same room or at the other side of the JCC, which I think is a lot for, like, just 2 people.
That is a lot.
You have similar niches, though.
Yeah, we're both very historically minded people, and we also
European,
like war games
if possible.
Yeah, European war games, historical, that's like our niche. Like the ones we've been in together, we've been in the IRA, we've been in, that sounds really bad out of context,
we've been in the IRA together.
Were both in the IRA committee together. We were in a Icelandic committee together, and we were also in the Anglo-Zulu war. He was on the 6C recap episode if you want to hear about that more. But I always think it's such a good idea. Well, and this is just my opinion. Like, it's not, I'm telling you, you need to work with them. But, like, it's such a strategic advantage. Like, Kyla was telling you guys, like, she worked with someone on our team to help get resources. Mm-hmm. If that hadn't been someone on our team, maybe she wouldn't have gotten those resources or gotten them so easily. And every time I've been in a JCC with someone on the other side, honestly, like, at this point, that's the only time I would do a JCC if I had a teammate on the other side. Because you're really, that's really, really a time where you can both, like, go for that best L, but you can also work together really powerfully to bridge across the committee. Because something that, like, honestly, I think JCC staffers like to see is people sending notes between JCCs and then trying to merge and do collective action that's, like, including people from both rooms. And you can either just do it between you two or grab some other people on board.
Yeah.
And it is really
And powerful. If it's really a school-blind conference like it's supposed to be, they won't know that you guys don't know.
And, like, honestly, I have never run into that problem. Because, like you said, if it's really school-blind, then they don't know. But at the end of the day, I think even if they do, they don't really care because...
Well, like, I mean, that shows some that people don't do that.
It shows that you're working hard. And if someone else next to you has a teammate in their room... Like, first of all, if you're in a JCC, you should always pay attention to who has the people on the other side of the room. But the thing is, like, it proves that you're working hard and you're working different aspects of the committee. Like, a joint crisis note with the other side is such a powerful, like, demonstration of, like, you know what you're doing. Like, you know that you should be communicating between these rooms and doing these interesting crisis actions. So, like, especially in the realm of JCC, like, utilize that very heavily.
It took me a long time to, I don't know, when I first, like, heard about the concept of people being either in the same room or on two sides of a JCC from the same school, I really started out thinking, like, oh, that's super corny if you work together. Like, that's really cheap, honestly. Like, you already know them. Like, I don't know. I just felt like that was, like, that's inauthentic.
I definitely played it that way my first few conferences, too. And I feel was like, oh, I don't know them.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, I can get into, like, my negative experience a little bit later. And I think that put a bad taste in my mouth for it, too.
Oh, honestly, do it now. I don't want to forget, like, so, getting good information.
Basically, he was an older delegate, and we both started out, and it was a cartel committee, so, you know, there was a lot of, like, killing. Like, that was kind of the name of the game was, like, who you can kill to, like, seize power within the cartel and, like, whatever. And the first attempt made on my life... I survived it, and it was fine, but then I, like, did research on it, and then they were like, oh, yeah, it was so-and-so, and I was like, oh, that's how we're gonna play this. Like, oh, super cool. So then I was like, oh, I'm pissed. So guns blazing went after him. Also failed, because, like, I think at that point they just, like, realized that it was gonna be, like, a weird back and forth, and they were like, we're not doing this right now. I think he did end up being killed by someone else, and I ended up being killed by someone else, but it made me mad. Because it was my first conference and he was clearly, like, kind of trying to do, like, a power play of, like, I'm a better delegate than you, like, remember your place. Yeah. And then I awarded and he didn't. And he didn't speak to me for months. And it was really not good. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's, like, the number one thing that I can say is if you're an older delegate and someone, a younger delegate, awards over you, or even someone of your, like, equal level of experience gavels over you or awards over you, stop. Like, that's your teammate. You should be happy for them. Do not try and play this as, like, a me versus you thing. That's someone on your team that did well.
Yeah.
Be happy for them. If they're really a friend, you would be proud of them.
Yeah, you would.
And, I mean, like, that's not to say, like, you won't have emotions. You won't maybe think about it later. But,
don't,
like,
take it out on them, though.
It's not their fault.
Yeah. They, like, didn't choose the awards. Like,
and at the end of the day, like Kyla said, like, sometimes you really have to bring yourself back and think, like, team mentality. And I think that's important to highlight. We've talked about that before.
We talked about it last episode and how difficult it is sometimes because it's, like, such a hyper-competitive environment and sometimes a toxic environment in that sense where, like, you feel like if you're not winning, you're worthless. And that's not true. Like, you contributed. And especially if you collaborated with that person in your room and they award, you were part of that.
Yeah.
Be proud of that. And don't feel like you were used or whatever. It's okay. It's okay to collaborate. It's something you have to learn.
You can also just, like, approach them beforehand and say, you know, I'd really like to kind of go into this committee and, like, kind of, you know, tough it out on my own, especially if you're a beginner delegate, and I would really appreciate it if you did or didn't do, like, such and such thing, or, like, if I asked you for feedback, if you gave it to me, but, like...
Define the relationship.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think having that discussion of, like, how you want to play it is valuable.
Yeah.
Because, like, and that doesn't mean you can't even prep together. Because, like, Casey, I don't, as far as I understand it, you didn't directly collaborate with Jungin or Elena, but you prepped with them.
We prepped together, and here's the thing, like, as I've done this, like, being in a committee, and especially at JCC with people, I've kind of laid the cards out on the table and been like, here, like, low-key, this is what I'm doing, like, mm-hmm. if you want to tell me what you're doing, whatever, like, I'm not going to touch it. Mm-hmm. So, like, after day one, they both told me, like, their whole arcs, and then, I mean, even before the conference started, we, like, looked at our positions, and while one of the positions, like, didn't fit to work together, mm-hmm. Jungin and I, like, basically figured out what kind of joint crisis thing we wanted to be doing behind the scenes between mm-hmm. the both rooms, like, before we went in. Like, it's, and that's, I think, honestly, a part of prepping. Like, understand mm-hmm. the strategy and understand the resources. Like, when you look at the resources of your position, also think of, like, in real life, what are your resources? Like, oh, I have a teammate. Like, what are their resources? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, like, you know, every unmod, you have to talk to each other and blah, blah, blah. And,
probably don't.
Yeah.
That's not proper unmod behavior, yeah. even if the person wasn't on your team.
Yeah, like, because people do see, like, when people are on each other's teams, mm-hmm. and they see when, oh, you're only working with yeah. them, or you're That's primarily annoying. Working with them, and then you're always going to be suspicious that those two people from the same team are going to be either a voting block or, like, ganging yeah. up on you in crisis. Like, I'm not going to say, like, don't let people know you're in the same school, but also demonstrate that you're not, like, at least outwardly working together all of the time. Mm-hmm.
And especially, and this is a thing we could also get into in, like, the school blind, but is it really episode that we'll get to eventually, but we have to gather our thoughts, is I really hate when conferences make you go around the room and, like, say what school you're from and, like, say what year you are. Like, I don't want you to have any preconceived notions of me. Just, like, know me as my position, know me as a delegate, and then, like, if I want to tell you those things, if we, like, get friendly and, like, we're chatting and, like, whatnot. Like, maybe I'll say, you know, I'm, like, a junior, senior, sophomore, whatever. But, like, starting that off is really weird because then you're like, oh, you're a freshman on that team and you're a senior on that team? That's, like, gonna be a weird dynamic.
Yeah, don't do and that. That always happens, too. It's, like, when you do see people from the same school, it's, like,
who's the power player?
Yeah, it's, yeah. like, so what's gonna happen here?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the way that I would suggest playing it, and this is, again, my opinion, play it by ear. And don't feel like you have to collaborate with someone. If you don't want to and you just want to do your own thing, that's fine. Like, that's okay. And your teammate should respect that. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to do that and if they want to do that, if you come to someone and are like, hey, we're in the same room, like, it'd be cool if we could do, like, a crisis thing together. Yeah. And they're like, no, I'm not super into that. Don't be offended.
Don't push
Everyone
it.
Plays Mon differently.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm offended.
Yeah, this is, like, it's not that big of a deal. And basically, bottom line is, don't screw over your teammate.
Yeah.
Because regardless of if you're working together, if you're not, if you're directly gunning for them for any reason,
yeah.
don't. How do you benefit from that? Yeah. You're going to make your teammate upset because they will know that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll maybe count them out of an award, which hurts your team as a whole as far as delegation awards. And you look stupid. Because everyone else on your team will know, too, and they'll be like, are you serious?
Also,
like, that's the kind of person you are?
You're going to look even dumber if you kill them off and they get a position, and they do really well in that position, and end up awarding higher than you, if not awarding and then you don't, and then you're the idiot that killed them off and enabled them to do that.
That's true.
So,
yeah, like I said, and I think this is my motto for whenever I talk to people who are going into this situation, I always tell them, like, first of all, what Kyla said, like, you should not be antagonistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I followed up with, at worst, you're neutral. At best, you're collaborating in some kind of way.
Yeah. And it's fine. And also, I will also say, I've seen it happen sometimes with people, not from our school, but, like, other schools. They'll have positions that do not match.
Mm-hmm.
In
yeah.
ways, like, they're not on opposite sides, so it's like they can do, like, the conspiratorial, like, oh, we're allies, mm-hmm. but we're not. It's like, they're just in totally opposite
yeah.
spheres, and
yeah.
then somehow they build an arc together, but it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to force it, it's yeah. not worth it.
Yeah.
Like those,
you end up looking weird. Like,
those positions would never work together.
Yeah, and it's like, if you can't find a good plan
yeah.
to make it, like, make sense,
and here's the
it's
thing.
Just not worth it.
You can usually make most things make sense
yes.
in crisis,
yeah.
but, like, I don't know. And you are right, like, and that's when I say, like, then be neutral.
Yeah.
And then if you and can help in other ways. Yeah.
You could be like, oh, hey, like, we do totally separate things, but, like, I have a lot of gold if you need it, or someone's like, I have connections if you need it. Like, your arcs don't have to coincide, and you can still help each other's arcs. Yeah. In, like, a different way.
Yeah, totally.
So, basically what we're trying to say with all of this is that you should collaborate with your teammates, you should get along with them, you should not be antagonistic, because that will not help you or your team or that teammate learn literally anything.
Mm. True.
Like, if you just kill them, what are they going to learn? Yeah. That you're mean and committee?
Oh.
I learned that you're a meanie.
And the one thing I wanted to slide in here is, also, if you're the older teammate with the younger teammate, or even if you're just, like, one grade apart, or even not, even if, like, I don't know, you're the younger person and you think you can, like, finesse, you should never make your teammate the jockey for you. Like, they're not gonna, like, don't make them run around, don't make them, you know, when you're in a committee and you're like, well, that's a person I can easily convince to, like, write my ideas down and, like, you know?
I've seen that.
Like, never try to finesse your own teammate. Like, that is so skeezy. I don't know.
So snaky.
And also... Yeah.
Always build them up. Help them out. Like, you don't need to be like, well, you go do this for me. Mm-hmm. You go talk to them for me. No. Unless you're actually like, okay, I'm going to talk here, you talk there, we're going to, like, split, divide and conquer.
Collaboratively.
Yeah. If you're going to work together, make sure it's an equal partnership and not that you're trying to, like, well, I'm the one who's really doing this for awards or whatever. Yeah. That's just gross.
Same thing, kind of, where it's like, if you're both in the same committee, you can offer each other really constructive feedback because you're seeing directly what that person is doing. But if you're an older delegate, or I'm actually going to nix that and just say more experienced delegate, because sometimes high schoolers come in and they're just, like, more experienced. It's weird. I don't know.
It's weird. It's weird. What are they doing down there? I don't know.
Never be condescending in what you're saying. No. Don't be like, oh, like, I don't know, your directives or, like... Oh, whatever. Or, like, you know, if you spoke more, maybe, like, you would have a better chance at awarding. Like, just be mindful of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Don't say something that's not purposeful, especially since you're in the room with someone. Like, this is a really good opportunity for you both. Yeah. So just, I don't know, don't try and act like you're the parent. Like, oh, come on, little one. Like, let me show you the way of how to do this committee. You're going to end up looking, like, dumb.
Are you trying to build better delegates, or are you trying to build your own ego? Because you shouldn't be trying to build your own ego.
Everybody better delegates, better ego, Papa John's.
T-shirt idea.
That literally makes no sense.
Papa Mons.
That's a really good one for people to wear out in public where other people would see it and could not decipher what it means. Like,
even people doing Mons wouldn't know, like, what it means.
Utterly have no idea what that means.
But the thing that I was thinking about when you were saying, you know, you can give each other feedback, is the thing I've really enjoyed, and honestly I miss when I don't have somebody else in committee, is, like, someone to commiserate with. Like, you can talk about wild things that happen in the room, or, you know, that one crazy delegate you have, or, you know, did you notice this? Oh yeah, I noticed that. Or, like, this is driving me crazy. Oh, it's driving me crazy too. Like, it's just nice to have someone where, you know, there's one thing about, like, telling other people what's going on in committee, but nobody, like, gets it. Nobody gets it, like, somebody's in the room with you.
Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely. I agree. I feel like we're all kind of on the same page here, and this is becoming an echo chamber really quickly.
Wait, is that what this podcast is?
That's all this podcast is.
Okay, new shirt idea, just echo chamber. Also, speaking of merch, thank you for buying things. We had, like, this increase of sales recently.
We had, like, five sales in, like, yesterday. A
day. Yeah. Which is...
All big ticket items. They were all showers, too.
We sell showers. Full showers. Full sets. In our store on Redbubble.
They bought so many showers.
Come through. Get a shower.
And if you need a curtain for that shower, you can also buy those.
We sell full bathroom sets. Just anything you may need.
Instead of Mono One being a podcast or, like, media conglomerate, can we change it into, like, a tiling
I'd like
business?
To be a Home Depot competitor. That sounds good to me.
It does.
We like homewares.
Not making them ourselves, though.
Speaking of homewares, this is really off topic, but Caroline bought a new knife block, and she put it right next to our old knife block, so it's just, like, 50 knives, like, all sitting. It looks so extreme. I'm gonna put it on the story. It's very funny.
First of all, Caroline brought this in a checked bag, which, like, imagine.
I was gonna ask how you got it here, because it's, I know you can check them, but it's just the concept of Caroline having literally 30 knives in her bag is a lot.
It's going through, like, I don't know how they check.
I don't know how they do it.
They put them in x-rays.
But, like, it goes to x-ray, and the guy's just like, what the? He just watches it go past.
Well, the thing is, you can check guns. Yeah. Like, full firearms you can check. So, I don't know.
That's, I didn't get the little notice that they went into my bag, so.
They saw the knives, and they were like, meh.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, but it's a knife block.
Yeah, she got home. She's like, oh my gosh, I want to open my new knives. She, like, pulls it out. Like, she did an unboxing for me. Knife, like, took all the little, like, tiny caps off the knives, so they weren't,
nice.
Like,
really nice.
So they now were pointy. And she took the knife block, like, slapped it next to the old one. And then she's like, awesome. And she walks away. I was like, Caroline, you got to come back and look at this. Just look at what this looks
look
like.
Look at the array of knives.
It was a pure unit of it's knives.
And they're still there. Because the thing is, the other knives are still usable, and...
I like this. I honestly like the small ones. For
I
cutting,
like chicken yeah. The small ones are nice. And the biggest thing that we needed to replace was a chef knife. So that is nice that we have a new one of that. But the other knives, apart from the chef,
if you're
knife,
wondering what our knife situation was like,
let me know what your favorite knives are. For cooking, not for anything else. Just cooking.
Imagine if someone just went into our DMs and sent us like chef's knives, just like the words chef's knives.
I hope that you.
And then we report them. And get them banned from Instagram.
If you're listening to this episode several weeks, maybe months or years after it was published, still DM us your knife preferences, because I would love to see our reaction about what's
honestly,
going on.
Tonight, blow off the dust on this.
I was thinking we just put a picture of the two knife blocks on our story and just say, listen to the very end of the episode to see what we're talking about.
No!
That's a good teaser.
That is a good teaser.
The teaser, instead of an audio teaser, is just a picture of our knife block. Tune in on Monday to listen to us talk about our knives.
Is it related to mom? Absolutely not.
See, that's the thing I worry about when I do the...
It is, because it's cutthroat.
I was going to say, don't stab your teammate in the back when they're in the same room.
Do you have one, Casey?
And if you do stab him in the back, you're going to be on the chopping block.
All right. That's
on
enough
that note, that's enough for tonight.
Chair's discretion, we're closing debate. Because we've now gotten delirious.
Oh, so, okay, double chair's discretion today.
Yeah.
All right, I got it. I'm on board.
All right.
We're discrediting everything.
Good night.
Point of information, what are your social medias?
You can follow us on Instagram at @mono1podcast, and you can email us any questions or comments that you may have at mono1.business@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate and review us.